Good afternoon, friends. My name is Tony Miano. I'm from Faith Community Church in the Santa Clarita Valley. I'm here with several friends from different churches. Stephen is from North Park Community Church in Santa Clarita. I've got Don here from Grace Community Church here in the Valley. Brad and Nathan from Kindred Community Church out in the Anaheim Hills area, and Kevin up there by the building from Eagle Rock Baptist Church. We come from different churches, different walks of life, but we all share a same love for Jesus Christ and the truth of the gospel and His Word. We are brothers in Christ, even though we don't look the same or talk the same or come from the same places in life or go to the same churches, but we have the common bond of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're here to share with you today. That's what we're here to bring to you today, is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no better news than salvation by the grace of God alone, through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. There is no other name given among men under heaven by which we must be saved. Salvation is through Jesus Christ and Him alone. Jesus Christ is God, make no mistake. He was with the Father in creation. All things were created by Him and through Him and for Him. Nothing has ever been made that was not made by Jesus Christ. He is the sinless Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. He is also the Lion of the tribe of Judah who will judge both the living and the dead. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the only Messiah. He is the only Savior. He is the only Lord. You will not find salvation in religion. You will not find salvation in good works. You will find salvation only in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. It is only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and through His glorious resurrection 3 days after He died on the cross that anyone can hope for salvation. And there is only assurance of salvation through that finished work of Christ. No one can be assured of heaven. No one can be assured of forgiveness of sin. No one can be assured of eternal life but through faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. We begin reading from the prophet Jeremiah chapter 7. God's Word tells us this. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord: stand at the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word, and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you men of Judah, who enter these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your deeds, and I will let you dwell in this place. Do not trust in these deceptive words. This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. For if you truly amend your ways and your deeds, if you truly execute justice one with another, if you do not oppress the sojourner, the fatherless, or the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place, if you do not go after other gods to your own harm, then I will let you dwell in this place, in the land that I gave of old to your fathers forever. Behold, you trust in deceptive words to no avail. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, make offerings to Baal, and go after other gods that you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered, only to go on doing all these abominations? Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, I myself have seen it, declares the Lord. Go now to my place that was in Shiloh, where I made my name dwell at first, and see what I did to it because of the evil of my people Israel. And now, because you have done all these things, declares the Lord, and when I spoke to you persistently, you did not listen, and when I called to you, you did not answer, therefore I will do to the house that is called by my name, and in which you trust, and to the place that I gave to you and to your fathers, as I did to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight, as I cast out all your kinsmen, all the offspring of Ephraim. As for you, do not pray for this people, or lift up a cry or prayer for them. And do not intercede with me, for I will not hear you. Do you not see what they are doing in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, the fathers kindle fire, and the women knead dough to make cakes for the Queen of Heaven. And they pour out drink offerings to other gods to provoke me to anger. Is it I whom they provoke, declares the Lord? Is it not themselves to their own shame? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, my anger and my wrath will be poured out on this place, upon man and beast, upon the trees of the field and the fruit of the ground. It will burn and not be quenched. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, add your burnt offerings to your sacrifices and eat the flesh. For in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, I did not speak to your fathers or command them concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this command I gave them, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And walk in all the way that I command you, that it may be well with you. But they did not obey or incline their ear, but walked in their own counsels and the stubbornness of their evil hearts, and went backward and not forward. From the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt to this day, I have persistently sent all my servants, the prophets, to them day after day. Yet they did not listen to me or incline their ear, but stiffened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. So you shall speak all these words to them, but they will not listen to you. You shall call to them, but they will not answer you. And you shall say to them, this is the nation that did not obey the voice of the Lord their God, and did not accept discipline. Truth has perished. It is cut off from their lips. Cut off your hair and cast it away. Raise a lamentation on the bare heights, for the Lord has rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. For the sons of Judah have done evil in my sight, declares the Lord. They have set their detestable things in the house that is called by my name to defile it. And they have built the high places of Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I did not command, nor did it come into my mind. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when it will no more be called Topheth, or the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. For they will bury in Topheth, because there is no room elsewhere. And the dead bodies of this people will be food for the birds of the air, for the beasts of the earth, and none will frighten them away. And I will silence in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, for the land shall become a waste. That was a prophecy given by God to the prophet Jeremiah. And it was a prophecy of judgment against the nation Israel. And why was God pronouncing judgment upon them? Because they had defiled his house. They had defiled the tabernacle. They had defiled the temple of God. They went into the house of God, presuming to worship God, while the rest of their life they were bowing down to idols, they were committing adultery, they were lying, they were stealing, they were breaking God's law with reckless abandon, and then they would presume to go into the house of God to worship Him. So offensive was their sin against God that the people even began to engage in sacrifices of their children. They would take their living children, they would take their sons and their daughters, and they would throw them into the fire as they worshiped the false god Molech. And then they would go into the house of God, and then they would perform rites and rituals and seek God through prayer, assuming that while they were doing all of these things to blaspheme His name, that God would listen to them and give them what they want. While they sinned against God in every conceivable way, and even in the ways inconceivable, sacrificing their living children to false gods by throwing them into the fire. My friends, it is true, those who do not learn from history are destined to repeat it. And what was happening these thousands of years ago in the nation of Israel is happening today in the United States. millions upon millions of people claiming to be Christians, going into the houses of God on Sunday, lifting up their hands in worship, bowing their heads in prayer, assuming God is going to answer them while they live sinful lives in reckless abandon, blaspheming God with every thought and deed. And while the people of America today, and many of them claiming to be Christians, aren't throwing their living children into the fire, they are nonetheless sacrificing their living children on the altars of false gods. Can I help you, sir?
If you're Christian, can I get $4 from you so I can get a cash card to go down to L.A. to pick up your clothes and I just come out of jail with you?
Would that make me a Christian if I gave that to you?
I'm asking you if you could.
Okay, I can give a few dollars to one of my friends. They'll walk you down to get you a tap card, but I'm not going to give cash away.
No.
Well, I've got $3 in ones. Brad, would you mind walking down with him to get him a tap card? You're welcome. What's your name? Chandler? Tanner. God bless you, Tanner. Have a good day. My friends, the same thing is happening here in the United States. While the people of the United States, many of them claiming to be Christians, aren't throwing their live children into fires to the worship of false gods, they are sacrificing their living children to false gods, the false gods of convenience. And it's through abortion. It's through abortion. Women are sacrificing their living children, ripping them into pieces in their womb, and sacrificing them to the false god of convenience. Sacrificing them to the false god of lust of the flesh. Sir, I hope you come to repentance, turn from your sin, and put your trust in Christ. Because you're lost right now, sir. You're as lost as the day is long. You need to repent of your sin, sir. You need to repent of your sin. That's right, my friends. Millions and millions of babies, 55 million babies, since Roe v. Wade came into existence, since that law, that ruling was decided, 55 million children have been murdered on the altars to the false gods of convenience, to the false god of adultery, to the false god of fornication. But yet, America expects God to bless this nation. America expects God to bless this nation when it sacrificed 55 million of their sons and daughters to false gods. And many of these people who worship at the false god of Molech, also known as the false god of convenience, and the false god of adultery, and the false god of fornication, they presume to go into the house of God every Sunday and mock God with their false worship, lifting up their hands and bowing their heads, and then asking God to give them something. God doesn't hear. God is not listening. God does not hear the prayers of a wicked nation. God does not hear the prayers of a wicked generation. God will not hear the prayers of this nation so long as it continues to murder unborn children. And that's what's happening in this country. It's not choice, it's murder.
So are you saying that Planned Parenthood is
an
object that they're
doing? I'm sorry, am I saying Planned Parenthood is what, sir? What?
Planned Parenthood.
Yes, what about it?
They do abortions, right?
They do.
So are you using that as an example as well?
Yeah, Planned Parenthood is evil. It's wicked. Planned Parenthood doesn't love women. Planned Parenthood doesn't love children. Planned Parenthood loves money. And they make millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars a year in blood money as they participate in the sacrifice of children to the false god of convenience. Some people will then say, well, what about if a woman's raped? Shouldn't she be allowed to abort her baby if she's raped? No. Why would you murder the child for the crime of the father? Why would you murder the child for the crime of the father? My friends, abortion is not choice, A woman who goes into an abortion clinic to slaughter her child is not a woman with a body. She is a mother with a baby. She is not a woman with a body. She is a mother with a baby. And the baby she murders is another body. It is not her own body. She murders another person. Are you in favor of abortion, sir? Then you're in favor of murder too, sir. You're in favor of the murder of the unborn too. And the wrath of God abides on you. Listen to what the Word of God says in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 to 19. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to Him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. God does not only hate the things that we do, God hates the hands and the feet and the eyes and the mouths of those who do them. God hates those who are quick to shed innocent blood. God not only hates abortion, He hates those who participate in abortion. That's right. He hates those who participate in abortion. Now, I'm going to speak all day long, sir. I'm going to speak all day long. I got plenty of voice left. No, I'm not going to, sir. I won't be doing that. Nope. Nope. No, sir. I'm going to speak until I can't speak. I'm not going to, sir. I'm not going to shut up, sir. I care too much about these people. I'm not. Can't help you, sir. Can't help you. All right, just a minute. See, my friends, God hates hands that are quick to shed innocent blood. He hates the hands of the doctor who cuts a baby into pieces in the mother's womb. He hates the hands of the mother who would presume to murder her baby in her own womb. He hates the hands of the man who would presume to take the woman to the abortion clinic to murder her child. God does not merely hate the act. He hates the one who commits the act. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Revelation 21:8. The Word of God makes it clear that all murderers will have their part in the lake of fire. And God sees abortion as murder. Isaiah 1:15, when you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. If your hands are full of the blood of abortion, either you've had one or you've coerced a woman into getting one, or you're a doctor who carves babies into pieces, or you're someone who votes for alleged pro-choice candidates who are really pro-murder candidates, then you have the blood of the unborn on your hands, and God does not hear your prayers. God does not hear your prayers. Every politician, the Word of God says, Isaiah 1:15, when you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. No, it's not my word. I have no authority. God's word has all authority. And God does not hear the prayers of those who shed innocent blood. God does not hear the prayers of those who have a hand in abortion, whether through politics, or as a physician, or as a woman, or as a man who chooses to murder their children. God does not hear your prayers. Isaiah 5:20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who call evil good. Woe to those who call abortion good. Woe to those who try to sanitize the murder of unborn children by calling it choice. The only one who are pro-choice are the ones who have been allowed to live. For the babies who are being murdered every day in abortion clinics all around the country were given no choice. And this is not a woman's issue. For half the babies murdered in the womb are women. Half the babies murdered in the womb are unborn women. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Psalm 22:9-10. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breast. Oh, on you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Psalm 127:3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Psalm 139:13-16. For you formed me in my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. God Almighty knits together every human being in the womb of their mother. Even the secular atheistic medical community agrees today, although their opinion is not important, that life begins at conception. It is a human being at conception. And God has knit every human being, every one of us who are living and breathing today, God knit even every one of us together in our mother's wombs. What? I can't hear you.
Not God.
Jesus is God. No, Jesus is God, young man. He's God. God in the flesh. Fully God and fully man and without sin. You're right, it's not church, it's a public sidewalk. It's a public sidewalk. Every baby that is aborted is a human being that is murdered. Every baby that is aborted is someone who was created in the image of God and murdered by others who were created in the image of God. Every single human being. And God hates murder. And every time a child is ripped apart in their mother's womb, every time a child is ripped apart in their mother's womb, God is offended. That sin is against God. And God will not leave the guilty unpunished. God will not leave the guilty unpunished. You are not doing away with a blob of tissue. You are not doing away with a parasite, as Planned Parenthood would like you to believe. You are murdering a human being. A human being. And every time you cast your vote for a pro-choice candidate, you are an accessory before and after the fact of the murder of countless human beings. This is how often babies are aborted, my friends. If you're driving up Lancashire and a car hits its brakes in front of you, it'll take you about 3/4 of a second to react to that person hitting their brakes. It'll take you another 3/4 of a second to respond and hit your brakes, for a total reaction and response time of about 1.5 seconds. In 1.5 seconds, my friends, two babies are murdered somewhere in the world in the womb. 42 million children slaughtered in what is supposed to be the safest place on planet Earth. 42 million human beings murdered. There is no greater Holocaust, my friends, past or present, than the Holocaust of abortion. But yet there are people who claim to be Christian while actually claiming to be pro-choice. It's a contradiction. It's an utter contradiction. How do you know that? How do you know that everything is a contradiction? How do you know that? That's not true. That defies the law of non-contradiction. You're just making this up as you go, sir. My friends, abortion is wicked, abortion is murder, and everyone who aborts a child will give an account before God for murdering that child. Whether the woman who carried the child in the womb, or the man who convinced her to have an abortion, or the nurse who checked her in at the clinic, at the murder mill, or the doctor who performed the act, or the politician who enacted the law, or the voter who voted for that politician to enact the law to make it okay to murder children. The Word of God says in Proverbs 3:7, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. The Word of God says the beginning, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And why do people murder unborn children? Because they have no fear of God. And those who have no fear of God have no wisdom. They're foolish. And they're so in love with their sin, and they so love the taste of blood, that they see nothing wrong with the murder of unborn children. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, Proverbs 15:3 says, keeping watch on the evil and the good. There is nothing done in secret, my friends. Nothing done in secret. None of our sin is in secret. None of our thoughts are in secret. None of our words are in secret. None of our actions are in secret. No abortion is secret. God sees everything. God knows everything. Proverbs 21:7 says, the violence of the wicked will sweep them away because they refuse to do what is just. Those who refuse to bring justice for the unborn, those who refuse to do what is just, are wicked in the eyes of God, and their wickedness will be swept away from God. The fact that God has not done that yet should not be seen as God being slow, but God being gracious. That God would give mankind more time to repent. Proverbs 28:14, blessed is the one who fears the Lord always, but whoever hardens his heart will fall into calamity. My friends, do not harden your heart to what you're hearing this day. You know what I'm telling you is true. You know abortion is murder. You know it's wicked. You know it's evil in the sight of God. Soften your heart this day. Don't be a hardened, cold, calculating murderer of human beings by supporting the infanticide, by supporting the murder of unborn children. Ecclesiastes 12:13 and 14, the end of the matter. All has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. My friends, the fear of the Lord, again, is the beginning of wisdom. If you think that abortion is okay and acceptable to God, it's because you lack wisdom, and you lack wisdom because you lack the fear of the Lord. You do not fear God. You call evil good and good evil. But you will one day stand before God to give an account for your life. And He will not judge you based on how you see yourself. He will not judge you according to your moral standards. Moral standards that are so drastically lower than God's. For anyone who calls good evil and anyone who calls evil good does not have the moral standard of God. They have no morality whatsoever. God is good, God is holy, God is righteous, God is just, and He must punish sin, all sin, not only the sin of abortion, but lying and stealing and adultery, fornication, coveting, blaspheming the name of God. All sin is detestable in God's sight. And because God is good, He will punish sin. And the punishment God has ascribed for sin is eternity in hell. My friends and I, we don't want that for you. We don't want you to perish in your sin. But if you presume to stand before God, declaring your own goodness while loving your own sin, then it is perish you will do. You will perish. Not because I say so, but because the Word of God says so. See, my friends, God is angry with the wicked every day. He is angry with the wickedness of abortion every day. The wrath of God abides upon those who either legislate or enforce or assist or participate or coerce the act of abortion. The wrath of God abides upon that wickedness. And God will judge the world in righteousness. And that same God, since there is only one God, that same God who is filled with wrath against sin, is the same God who is loving and merciful and gracious and kind. Yes, there is forgiveness for sin. Yes, there is forgiveness even for the sin of abortion. Yes, there is forgiveness. But it's not through you thinking you're a good person. And it's not by going to a church and praying to a priest or a rabbi or an imam. It's through Jesus Christ. 2,000 years ago, God the Father sent His Son to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. Fully God and fully man and without sin. Unlike you and me, He never once violated the law of God. He was and He is the perfect, sinless Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. He lived the perfect life that you and I cannot live. In about 33 years into that earthly existence, He voluntarily went to the cross. He suffered and died a horrific, bloody death He did not deserve, to take upon Himself the punishment we rightly deserve for our sins against God. And then 3 days later, He forever defeated sin and death when He rose from the grave. And unlike every false god created in the religions and imaginations of men, Jesus Christ is alive today. And He will return at a time of the Father's choosing. And He will not return as a meek and mild lamb. He will return as the Lion of the tribe of Judah to judge both the living and the dead. What God commands of you this day is the same thing He commands of me and all people everywhere, and that's that we repent, that we turn from our sin, and by faith and by faith alone, receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. Yes, if you are a woman who has had an abortion, yes, there is forgiveness for that sin. Yes, if you are a man who has ever coerced a woman into having an abortion, yes, there is forgiveness for that sin. If you are someone who works in the healthcare industry where you have sworn an oath to do no harm, but you participated in the murder of unborn children, yes, there is forgiveness for that sin. If you have voted for pro-abortion, pro-murder candidates, yes, there is forgiveness for that sin. But it is only through Jesus Christ. It is only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The Word of God says that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And the only blood that God deemed satisfactory was the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. The sacrifice of God had to be fully God because only God could appease the wrath of God. And the sacrifice of God had to be fully man because only man could pay man's penalty. And that was all fulfilled in the God-man, Jesus Christ the Lord. That is where justice and mercy kissed on the cross. God is not arbitrary in His forgiveness, and He is not a judge who will be bribed by your religion or your good intentions. Forgiveness is available only through Jesus Christ. The Word of God says that if you turn from your sin and by faith alone receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, God will remove your sin as far as the east is from the west, and He will remember it no more. Even the sin of abortion. And if you are within the sound of my voice and you have had any hand in an abortion and you think that that act is so egregious that it is outside God's ability to forgive, then you do not know my God. You do not know the God of the Bible. You do not know the God who created you. Because the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross was sufficient to cover every kind of sin in thought, word, or deed. His blood was sufficient. His sacrifice was sufficient because Jesus Christ is of infinite more value than all of humanity put together in the eyes of Almighty God. For it pleased the Father to crush His own Son under the full weight and fury of His just and His holy wrath. And that's why God's sacrifice on the cross through the God-man Jesus Christ is sufficient to forgive even the sin of abortion. Even the sin of abortion. And you know it's not a choice, my friends. You know it's murder. It's a choice to murder. That's all it is. Abortion is a choice to murder another human being. So let's take your rationale, let's take your logic to its infinite conclusion. Nobody argues that a baby in the womb is a human being. Nobody argues that. Nobody. The scientific community, the legislature, the Supreme Court, they all agree that an unborn child is a human being. So if women should have the choice to murder an unborn human being, why shouldn't we all have the choice to murder born human beings? Why not? It's not funny. It's not funny. The only reason you're laughing is that you realize the ridiculousness of this false notion that it's actually a choice. It's not a choice, it's a murder. It's a murder. And thank God today that your mother didn't choose to murder you before you were born. And remember again, the only ones who have a choice are the ones who have already been born. So you're not really pro-choice if you're in favor of the murder of the unborn. You are not pro-choice. You are pro-murder. You are pro-choice only for certain people, and you are pro-murder for others. And you need to repent of that sin. And you need to turn from that sin. And by faith and by faith alone, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And yes, He will even forgive that sin. The sin of murder. Come to your senses, people. This country is a country dripping with the blood of 55 million unborn children. And God's hand of wrath is upon this nation. God's hand of judgment is upon this nation. Because this is a nation that sacrifices its children to the false god of convenience. To the false god of convenience. Turn from your sin. And by faith and by faith alone, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him. Male and female He created them. Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 45. In those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Yes, the child growing in each and every womb is a human being. A living human being. A child created in the image of God and has every much right to live as you and I do. And to take that child's life with malice aforethought, with premeditation, is by definition murder. Luke 2, 6 and 7. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. She gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, humbled himself to take on the form of human flesh. But we live in a country that enjoys ripping apart human flesh in the mother's womb. Jesus humbled himself to take on the form of human flesh so that sinners like you and me might be forgiven for our sins. He lived a perfect life that we cannot live. And he voluntarily went to the cross, where he allowed his own creation to rip apart his flesh. The Word of God says that he was so badly mutilated that he could barely be recognized as human. And there he died. And there he shed his innocent blood. There he sacrificed his life for sinners like you and me, so that we could receive forgiveness of our sins and the gift of eternal life. And then he forever defeated sin and death when he rose from the grave. And what he commands you this day is to repent, to turn from your sin, and by faith and by faith alone, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And he will take your heart of stone, a heart of stone that would call abortion good, and give you a heart of flesh, a heart that would see abortion for what it is, the murder of innocent life. And you will begin to love the things that God loves, like the unborn child in the womb. And you will begin to hate the things that God hates, like the slaughter of unborn children in the womb. So do not harden your hearts this day. Turn to Christ and live. Turn to Christ and receive forgiveness for your sins. Turn to Christ and receive the gift of eternal life that only He can give. And pray that God would change this nation from a nation that sacrifices its children on the altar of convenience, and stop slaughtering the unborn children in this country. That is a prayer that God will hear, and pray that God will answer. Thank you for listening.